Please.
Rules in the morning.
One of the most talked about movies of all time, Howard the Duck, lands on DVD for the first time ever in an all-new special edition. From executive producer George Lucas and the pages of Marvel Comics comes this unbelievably funny comedy about a fast-talking, cigar-chomping, beer-loving duck from a parallel universe who crashes to Earth, featuring brand new bonus features, a digitally remastered picture, and new 5.1 surround sound. Howard the Duck Special Edition is a hidden treasure the whole family can enjoy. Bullshit!
Enjoyment part wasn't quite accurate. Not as advertised. And that was our review. And I'm Paul.
And we are
the B-Movie Bros. Your review, B-Movie's best of our ability.
Sometimes we get off topic, but randomness is a gift. And yeah, bullshit wasn't part of the description, but what you heard was the description for the DVD, the first ever DVD release.
It should have been part of the description.
Of Howard the Duck from 1986. And of course, you know, spoiler warning ahead, friends. But yeah, that's family fun for the whole family? No. No, it's no, well, it's not.
Wasn't even appropriate for the whole family or any of the family. You show this to your family, they're not going to talk to you anymore.
So let's dive right into this shit with our technical difficulties. Oh yeah, by the way, welcome to March. It's a brand new month. And as always, March
another
has
fucking accurate.
A very special acronym, which is Mutant Animals Reflect Characteristics of Humans. So basically, anthropomorphic animals this month, guys and gals. So let's dive right into this shit with our technical difficulties, top and bottom three. Let's start with the top here. So for me, number three, a bunch of the scenes were nonsensical and didn't need any context to enjoy. And, you know, that's kind of what this should have been. The only experience I have with Howard the Duck is, like, the Marvel Zombies 4, I think, whichever the one starred Howard and a robot traveling through the multiverse fighting zombies.
Sounds like the best Marvel thing ever.
Yeah, he's just random Marvel universe, fight some zombies. Oh, shit, we gotta get to another one. Like, another different random verse, like... That's it. Like, you shouldn't need any context to enjoy what goes on with Howard the Duck. Number two, there actually was a lot of fun dialogue in the movie. I was not expecting to laugh at this, like, genuinely laugh. Like, it was entertaining to me. I expected to laugh at how bad it was, which I did do that, too. But the dialogue genuinely had me laughing, which leads me to number one, and I did not think I'd ever say this, but the seduction of Howard may have been one of the funniest scenes I have ever watched.
The seduction of Howard should have been the sequel.
Like, between the dialogue
the triple experience.
And what they did with the Howard costume in reaction to the character Beverly's, touches and words and everything to him, like, it was just hysterical. Also, we paused it a couple times, and it just the eyes of both Howard and Beverly, like, you could just see, you know, Beverly flirting with the duck, how she was just dead inside, just like this is where my life is gone. I'm flirting with the duck, and it just, I have not laughed that hard at a movie scene in quite a while.
All right, so normally before we do these reviews, I, you know, type out, like, my top and bottom three and my final take. Well, this time, it's Howard the Duck. I'm just going to fucking wing it. So, no, yes, pun intended. But
excellent.
Number three, I found the Dark Overlord thing just so ridiculous yet funny. Like, it came out of nowhere. We never got an explanation for it, but it was just really funny. It's just fucking... The fucking principal from Ferris Bueller, like, starts, like, freaking out, and, like, his eyes are glowing, and he's talking in a weird voice, like, I don't know. What the fuck were they? They're from some other dimension. Who knows? Number two, the fucking, like you said, the fucking seduction scene is just so fucking funny. It's just, like, there's such a, like, sense of, like, just, absolute absurdity, and I knew it was coming because I'd heard other people talk about like that. I'm like, oh my god, she's really gonna fuck the duck, And, well, thankfully she didn't, at least not till the end where they kind of hint at it, but, like...
If she would have just fucked the duck, the Dark Overlord would never have made it to Earth. Like, everything would have been cool. He could have gone back to his own planet. But no, Tim Robbins had to show up.
He had to fuck everything up. Yeah, it was... Yeah, that was just... It was this the whole, like, absurdity of it. Which goes into number one, like... The overall just, like, absurdity of the whole movie. Like, no one takes anything seriously. You've got people at this bar, like, just messing with this duck. And most of, like, some of the people, like, the police, like, thought he was in a costume. And they're like, oh, he's not. Well, fuck it. Lock him up or whatever. It's like, everyone was just so casual about it. They were constantly aware of how, like, absurd it was. I definitely appreciated it. I'll get into later in the bottom three. I don't think they did a great job with the premise, but... I like movies that are, like, kind of, like, just absurd sometimes.
Like, they're at the restaurant, Howard, after the waitress calls him a child, and it's like, oh, your child is so cute. He's like, give us three beers. And she's like, okay. And she, like...
the Cajun sushi restaurant.
So, on to the bottom three. So, number three. For being a George Lucas-produced film, the final monster looks like absolute shit. Not only does it have, like, a silly predator-scorpion hybrid look, but it's obviously green-screened into the film and by far doesn't hold up to today's standards. I mean, hell, it didn't even hold up to the standards set by George Lucas himself with, you know, the Star Wars films in the 70s and 80s. Like, I was sorely disappointed in the final battle.
It looked like the Great Mighty Pooh from Conker's Bad Fur Day, only a lot worse somehow.
And with less song. Number two, the police chase fugitive subplot scenario, it really came out of nowhere, it wasn't needed, and it was the worst transition of the film. It's like, one moment they're like, oh my god, this character has just been vaporized by the space laser, and then the next, the police are like, round up all the scientists, and they're like, what the fuck just happened? And they don't explain it until like 15 minutes later. Number one. So, this movie had no real sense of direction. Like, the back of the box calls it a comedy, but, like, it was trying to be a comedy, trying to be a romance, trying to be a drama, trying to be a sci-fi horror film. Like, it tried to be everything, and it didn't really work in any one direction. Yes, there were more comedic elements than anything else, and that did reign higher than the others, but because it tried to do all the other stuff, it really didn't feel like a comedy. It just felt like it failed.
Yeah, fail really describes this movie quite well. Yeah, so number three I'd go with, why the fuck were the cops chasing after him in the first place? Like, that didn't make sense. Or, like, they're doing illegal experiments. Like, what? Like, well, one, I don't think the local police would be involved in that. Like, their interdimensional fucking travel experiments. But two, it's like, yeah, that didn't make any sense, and they just noticed it, like, right then and there. Like, that was kind of ridiculous. Number two, there should have been more duck puns, but also, like, the movie just seemed like it was all over the place a lot of the times. Like, Howard gets into a fight with Marty's mom, and Lorraine, and... Then he goes back to her, and she's like, I missed you. Like, no, you fucking didn't, bitch. Like, you fucking told him to fuck off, like, 5 minutes ago. And why is he, like, all into you now? He has told you to go away. And he's working at a sex spa or something like that. And that has nothing to do with anything. It was all over the place.
Yes. Howard the Duck worked at a fucking sex spa.
Now the fuck was this rated PG?
Fun for the whole family, everybody. Yeah.
And number one, yeah, it really felt like they were trying to be, at times, like, this fun epic with this, like E.T. or something like that. But it was also an absurd, like, movie where they were aware of how absurd it was, but also didn't want to commit to that. It just, they tried making it too many things, and, yeah, this should have, it. Well, one, it shouldn't, I don't know how the fuck this is rated PG, not even PG-13. We had fucking duck boobs and fucking, like...
Twice.
Yeah, twice.
Duck boobs twice.
This woman, like, fucking... Coward's got a fucking condom in his, like, in his wallet. This woman's trying to fuck a duck, and... Yeah, I don't understand that. But overall, it's like, if you're going to go with an absurd concept, just fucking go with it. Don't try to make this, like, fucking an epic where, you know, we're flying in the sky and everything and all this other stuff. That was kind of dumb. And, yeah. If they had just gone at the absurdity of it and, like, just really focused on that, it would have been a lot better than it ended up being.
Well, I did talk about the dialogue of the film, so let's have ourselves a good old-fashioned quote war.
Quote war.
We'll quote this movie back and forth. You tell us who had the better quotes. I'll get us started with, if I had a place to go, I certainly wouldn't be in Cleveland.
Hostility is like a psychic boomerang.
I just can't resist your intense animal magnetism.
They're seasoning me.
The end of the world is coming, and I will be the cause of it.
No sex now. I'm working.
That ends this episode's edition of Quote Wars. If you have a favorite quote from this film or anything else you'd like to say about it, please leave it in the comments below. It's time to give this film our final take. Remember, friends, our final take is a score on our shot scale. Our shot scale is a reverse scale, 1 to 10, 1 being the best, 10 being the worst. How many shots do you need to get through this film? I gave it a 3 out of 10.
I gave it a 6 out of 10.
So, Howard the Duck features a duck named Howard, pulled to Earth to fuck Marty McFly's mom and fight cosmic demons. There aren't enough duck puns, but it's entertaining enough. It's understandably a cult quacksick.
Yeah, so the 1980s must have been a really weird time. I was born in at the very end of the 80s, so I have no memories of it. But apparently, like, right before I was born, there was, like, fucking interdimensional ducks, you know, all this weird shit, people trying to fuck the ducks, and, like, demons and all George Lucas. I don't even fucking know. It's Howard the Duck. It's based off a comic that no one's ever read, and, like, I don't know. It was an absurd concept that should have been better than it was. If they had just kept focusing on the absurdity, could have been great, but instead, I don't know, it wanted to be E.T. or something like that, and it got stupid, and it had self-awareness at times, and other times it just didn't. Like, what the fuck? Like, I just want to watch Ninja Turtles, goddamn.
Well, you know, Paul, at least we always have ways to drink away this flick. Drink away this flick. So come on and grab your drink. Let's drink away this flick.
Bum, 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 bum.
We'll use some drinking games for this film. But remember, friends, drink responsibly. Number one, every time Howard shakes his tail feathers, take a drink. Number two, every time Beverly calls Howard ducky, take a drink. Number one, whenever Jennings' eyes glow, take a drink. And number four, anytime Howard talks about going home, take a drink.
Every time you remember that you're watching Howard the Duck, take 4 shots.
That's it. That's all.
Yep, that's all I've got for this one.
Well, seeing as how this is the first day of Mutant Animals Reflect Characteristics of Humans Month, Howard the Duck is in the number one spot.
Yeah, I never thought I'd say that. But you know what doesn't suck? I'm still playing like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. And I forgot to mention it last time, but there was kind of a kaiju, though it's not really a kaiju, it's a giant, like, you know, vacuum cleaner that, you know, those vacuum cleaners, like, kind of like run themselves. Well, this one can fly and it's giant and you can summon it and you fight it. And
it sucks up,
like,
people.
Yeah, it sucks up people, like, you know, the professor that made them and people who are mean to Ichiban. And so that's kind of like a kaiju. So, and then as far as, like, you know, anthropomorphic stuff goes, I mean, there's Onomishio, who's like giant cookie man, but I mean, he's a mascot.
He's an orange.
Oh, yeah, that's what he is. I don't remember. It's been a while since I played 6. But in Infinite Wealth, there's a robot version of him. It's Robomishio. And, yeah, so I don't think there's any other, like, anthropomorph. There's got to be others.
I think don't you fight a fucking megalodon shark?
I mean, you fight a bear and a bunch of them. Like, in Yakuza 5, like, there's this giant bear that you fight. You fist fight a bear. And, I mean, Kiryu once punched a tiger in the face and sent it flying.
Well, Paul, I think you're going to be happy with the selection for next week. As we delve into more anthropomorphic fuckery, we're going to take a look at a movie from 1991.
I like where this is going.
About a secret of the ooze, starring the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes!
So until next time, friends, be brave, be alive, and be back for more.
And eat plenty of pizza.
Get on my knees. Hachi Lua.